This is going to be called How to Properly Use the Sword. And when I say sword, I'm talking about the Bible. If you look at Hebrews 4:12, it says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." So the Bible likens the word of God to a sword. And here are some ways to properly use the sword, the King James Bible. Number one, use it on the enemy. Ephesians 5:11 says, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." For many Christians, their sword is laying around and picking up dust. They aren't using it to reprove anybody. We are supposed to be using it against the enemy. We are supposed to reprove the works of darkness, not just sit back and do nothing. Jonah 1:2 says, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." That's what the Lord said to Jonah. He wanted Jonah to go to Nineveh and cry against their wickedness. And what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to cry out loud. And we're supposed to cry out loud the words of God, which is our sword. We are to use it to cry against something. And there's a lot of wicked things going on in this world that we could cry against. And many Christians and lost people are ignorant of the devil's devices, because the Christians aren't crying against the wicked things in the world. 2 Timothy 4:2 says, "Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." So, as Christians, we're supposed to reprove, and rebuke with the word. You don't have to be a preacher to use the word. You don't have to be a preacher to preach against something. It's a command to reprove and rebuke. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." Sometimes you have to reprove and cry against a false teacher, like Paul did in 1 Timothy 1:18 through 20. It says, "This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck, of whom as Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme." So Paul called out some people. He had to reprove and rebuke. And you need to teach against the false religions and the cults of today. You need to preach against Hollywood. You need to preach against the music industry. Paul taught against the religion of his day by teaching against that. The idea of circumcision is necessary for salvation. As he says in Galatians 6:15, "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature." Today, most of the religions are teaching baptismal regeneration. And this is today's circumcision. Back then, they were saying circumcision has part in saving you. Today, they're saying baptism has part in saving you. And this is something to learn about and use your sword to cry against it. But if a person can't handle the truth after a couple of times, then it's time to move on. As Titus 3:10 and 11 says, "A man that is an heretic, after the first and second admonition, reject, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself." So use the sword on the enemy. And next, use it to save somebody else. Jude 1:22 and 23 says, "And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh." You save them by opening the book and giving them the gospel. That's how you pull them out of the fire. And the gospel is in 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. And Paul tells us how Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and how He was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Your sword contains the gospel, and it saves a man from eternal hellfire when he believes that gospel. It saves him from a life of ruin. James 5:19-20 says, "Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins." If you give someone the gospel and they get saved, you caused a whole bunch of sins to not take place that would have taken place had that person not been born again. I wonder what would happen if someone like Charles Manson or Ted Bundy or Hugh Hefner or all these wicked people that ruined a lot of people's lives, if they would have got saved at an early age, they probably wouldn't have sinned as much. And when you win souls to Jesus Christ, you will have devils in your way, trying to stop you from converting the children of disobedience and the children of light. And this brings us to our next point. Take your sword and use it during spiritual attacks. Ephesians 6:12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." We wrestle against the spirits of devils, and maybe even some fallen angels that have fell after they were fallen in Genesis 6. There are spirits at work trying to get you down and depress saints, and these people, or these spirits, are accusers of the brethren. And when you have questions pop up in your head that make you doubt your salvation over silly little things, like maybe I didn't believe enough, or maybe I didn't say the right words, these things are sometimes spiritual attacks, and they can affect your witnessing. Because if you don't know you're saved, then how can you tell somebody else how to be saved? When you have constant thoughts of sin, you're under spiritual attacks. When you're constantly feeling guilty over past sins that have already been forgiven, already been confessed, that can be spiritual attacks. But when under these attacks, Paul tells us what to use. He says, "Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." Use the sword against temptation. Think back on how Jesus overcame temptation. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." And when there is envy and strife among Christians, devils are present. James 3:14-15 says, "But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish." So that brings us to our next point. Use the sword to keep others in unity. 1 John 3:16 says, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." 3:14 said, "We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death." Many times your love for other Christians makes you want to defend them. Many times I hear someone talk about my brother in Christ and I want to defend him. You need to use the sword to figure out how to treat each other, to stay in unity, and to learn how to stay in unity yourself. You need to read the Bible, read the Pauline epistles, take what he says about how to treat other Christians, and this will help you stay in unity and help you keep others in unity. So you need to use the sword to figure out how to keep others together, and how to keep others from causing strife and division. Galatians 6:1 says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." I worry about people who always want a division and strife and something going on between Christians, between a Christian and another Christian. This isn't what the Bible teaches. 2 Thessalonians 3, 10 and 11 says, "For even when we were with you, this we commanded you that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all but are busybodies." And people who don't do any work for God will many times be busybodies in other men's matters. They will be the ones causing division instead of unity. They can use the sword to cause division instead of unity. They're preaching Christ of envy and strife, as Paul warns against in Philippians. But causing other Christians to recognize these simple verses can help keep unity among Bible believers. Psalms 133:1 says, "How pleasant is it for the brethren to dwell together in unity. So make peace and not war." Jesus did say in Matthew 10:34-36, "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household." But if we are all uniting under the same sword in our household and in our fellowship, then the man's foes won't be in his house. The ones in his house and fellowship will be fighting the same battle against the same enemy. And if we're fighting the same battle against the same enemy, then we need to unite and use the same sword to fight the same enemy and not each other. And this brings us to the next point: use the sword with the right motive. Titus 1:11 says, "Whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake." If a man is using the Bible for the wrong motive, he will many times end up teaching things he ought not for filthy lucre. And a man will teach ear-tickling stuff so he can get money. In a time where people will not endure sound doctrine, but have heaped to themselves teachers having itching ears. If you're using the Word of God for money, then you're not setting your affection on things above. You are setting up treasures on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. The wrong motive may get you things down here, but it's not going to get you things up there when you get to heaven. You'll get to the judgment seat of Christ empty-handed because you got all the glory and all the pleasure down here. So use the sword for the right motive. Don't use the Bible to try to get fame or a following or to become popular or for self-promotion. Use the Bible to help others. Use the Bible to spread the gospel like Jesus Christ wants us to do. The Bible is not for you to get fame and fortune down here and to use it in the wrong way and take verses out of context to trick people into sending you money by the way of the television, as the televangelists do, putting their number on the bottom of the screen saying, if you want blessed, then send us your money. But that's using the Bible for the wrong motive. And if you want to use the sword, period, you need to be saved if you're not saved. A lost person cannot use the sword properly. And when a lost person approaches the Bible, it could even be dangerous. There's been lost people who came to the Bible and took verses out of context and started cults with it. So you need to be saved. And 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." So you can't even know what the Spirit of God says unless you're saved. And the only way to be saved is to go to the sword. You have to come to the Bible and look at it to see how to be saved. The gospel is in the sword. And it's in 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. And Paul tells us how that Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. So the gospel is that Jesus Christ died. He died on the cross by shedding his blood, and he did this. He died for your sins. He did it to pay for your sins. Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." There is none righteous, no, not one. You're not righteous. You need the righteousness of Jesus Christ applied to your soul to make it to heaven. And the only way to get Jesus Christ's righteousness is applied to your soul is to believe the gospel that I just told you. So if you want to be saved, come to Jesus Christ as the guilty sinner that you are and believe on Him and what He did on the cross to pay for your sin debt that you owe. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Acts 16:31 says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. So get saved today, and then you can come to the Bible, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Seek ye out the book of the Lord and read it. Give attendance to reading. If you've just gotten saved, then get you a King James Bible, start reading it, and find out how to use the sword properly.